CH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump speaking at the White House, expected to sign the Lake and Riley Act into law.
Will become the very first bill that I proudly sign into law as the 47th president of the United States.
ABC's Karen Travers has more on the law.
The Lake and Riley Act is named for the 22-year-old Georgia nursing student who was killed by an undocumented migrant. It requires ICE to detain undocumented migrants accused of theft and violent crimes. The president appeared with Riley's family last year and has made her story a key part of his immigration and border security message.
During his speech, President Trump also touting his first week in office, saying he signed 350 executive orders since taking office. Some are facing legal challenges, including his directive to temporarily freeze federal funding. ABC News has obtained a memo by the OMB saying it's rescinding that executive order on the pause in federal funding. In Israel, the families of hostages say that they have the names of three more hostages expected to be released tomorrow. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Republicans are asking State Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz to recuse herself from their appeal to a recent ruling on Act 10. The ruling from a Dane County Circuit Court judge in December overturned most of the law as unconstitutional, saying it violated the equal protection guarantees in the state constitution. Justice Protasiewicz had regularly expressed her belief that Act 10 was unconstitutional when running for the seat in 2023. The Dane County ruling was put on hold pending the result of the Republican appeal. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development is accepting applications for Wisconsin Fast Forward grants. According to a press release, the grant program is meant to increase the number of skilled workers in the state. Public agencies, private organizations, and tribal governments can apply for the program and could be eligible to receive some funding to train more skilled workers themselves. Grant awards range from $5,000 to $400,000. Applications must be submitted by 3 p.m. on March 11th. The Ashland City Council has passed an ordinance placing limits on short-term rental properties. Under the ordinance, owners of short-term rental properties will need to apply for a license through the city. They will also need to ensure their property meets the zoning code, has adequate on-site parking, and limits the number of guests that can be accommodated. The ordinance also requires the owner or property manager to be within 30 miles of the property at all times. Officials say the goal is to protect residents near the short-term rental properties. The Duluth Police Department is investigating following a hit-and-run crash that left a pedestrian in the hospital. According to law enforcement authorities, the collision occurred at around 11:30 a.m. on Tuesday near the Walgreens at the intersection of 12th Avenue East and 2nd Street. The victim was reportedly walking in the crosswalk when she was hit, and the driver of the vehicle left the scene. The woman was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, and authorities are working to locate the driver of the vehicle. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
A Packers coach interviews with the Jaguars. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL Packers linebackers coach Anthony Campanelli has an interview for the defensive coordinator job of the Jacksonville Jaguars under new head coach Liam Cohen. Former Packers cornerback Al Harris hired by the Chicago Bears as a defensive backs coach. Harris has been an assistant for Andy Reid in Kansas City and the Dallas Cowboys under Mike McCarthy. College basketball, the Badgers on the road tonight in Maryland. Greg Garden, why the Badgers have now moved up to 17th in the rankings.
It's part system, it's part players, you know, that we got really good players that buy into it, love playing in it.
Marquette with a 78-69 win over Butler. NBA, the Bucks losing 125-117 to the Trailblazers in Portland.
I thought our offense was awful. I really did. I don't care if we were scoring. We didn't have the beautiful ball movement, next pass, hitting the open guy the entire night.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A little cooler today with partly sunny skies and highs in the upper 20s. They'll start to ease a bit tonight, but a few flurries could be flying around late. All ahead of a major warm-up striking tomorrow with highs soaring to the low 40s. We'll be soaking up the sunshine and feeling like spring. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau.
Currently, it's 21.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6th rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Angela Lang from Block Black Leaders Organizing Communities joins me to talk about not good test scores coming out of the city of Milwaukee. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Happy hump day. It's Wednesday, and I hope it is as lovely where you are as it is where I am. I needed a little bit of a breather today, if you know what I'm saying, everybody. Took my dog for a long walk in the sunshine and 40-degree weather. Didn't even put on a coat. Hope you've got a chance to gather yourself, get outside, and take care of yourselves. We're going to take care of some business and some politics here today. Plenty to talk about, but don't forget, everybody, it is Wednesday, and that means at 3:30 this afternoon, we are going to have the segment Over the Hump and Trump, where we collectively come together and talk about what brings us joy and healing and what helps us get through these moments, because it is crazy this week, no exception. And I'm so very glad to have a fantastic guest joining me at the top of the show today. His name is Sean Fetteplace. He heads up and helps lead the Main Street Alliance. They were one of the parties that filed suit yesterday to stop the implementation of, I don't even, the memorandum from the Office of Management and Budget that was probably one of the worst legally unsound pieces of gobbledygook I've ever seen come out of a federal executive branch office department. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. Sean, welcome one and all. So happy to have you join us today to make sense of the breaking news just within the last couple of hours, us getting on the air.
Excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So just before we were about to start the show this afternoon, saw news dropping. It's not a lot of news. It's just a little bit of news because nobody knows what it means. Apparently, the Trump White House reversing course today. Of course, a federal judge enjoining the OMB memo late last night, but rescinding it today with basically no further instruction. So again, another memo this morning from this guy, Matt Vaith, acting director of the White House Office of Management and Budget, states that yesterday's memo, OMB Memorandum M/25/13, is, quote, rescinded. Okay. What's going on, Sean? Help us understand.
Yeah, so the memo went live late Monday, and it was like a chaos grenade got thrown because people didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what it meant. I read it quickly. I went to sleep. I have an eight-year-old at home, so I go to sleep kind of early and woke up and then really fully realized this means that basically anything that isn't defense, Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, and isn't like staff at the agencies was frozen. You know, student loans, if you're trying to apply for new student loans, like FAFSA wasn't working. Our Medicaid portal, in Wisconsin for the state. The state gets money from the feds to pay for that. That was frozen. That's a, you know, I estimated, I looked at the math, it's about $500 million a month that we get from the feds to administer our Medicaid program. And there were nonprofits. I'm here at Garver Feed Mill, which is a lovely place, and they have great pizza and coffee. So it's my favorite place to come during the day. And there was a nonprofit here that a significant amount of their full funding comes from the federal government. And they didn't know if they were going to make payroll. Right. So it really had a really negative impact. And thankfully, the courts have intervened. But the White House seems to be trying to get cute and saying that it's rescinded, but we're still doing it. It's very unclear at this point what's happening, but we're going to hold their feet to the fire.
Well, my thanks to you, Sean, for being part of that lawsuit. A judge in the District of Washington, D.C., a federal Article III judge enjoining the implementation or enforcement of that Memorandum M-25-13. I had a discussion with one of my colleagues yesterday afternoon, Sean, about whether the point is chaos. And I have made the argument, and I stand by this, that chaos is a byproduct, but chaos is not the point. The point is, one, creating fear and anxiety. And I think in many ways, when you couple it with the executive order attacking DEI, whatever that is, right, a definition which seems to change every day, attacking DEI, attacking climate-related policies, that the point is, when coupled with all of the other actions that the Trump administration is taking, the threat of law enforcement, prosecution of local law enforcement, if they do not allow local law enforcement to be co-opted in the business of enforcing federal law, which is not what's supposed to happen under basic principles of federalism. Now firing assistant U.S. attorneys for doing their job, launching an internal investigation into U.S. attorneys and investigators in the Department of Justice who followed orders and completed January 6 investigations and prosecutions, removing the security details for now apparently included newly today, Jim Mattis, removing security clearances. This is to create fear. And with that fear and the threat of things like losing your job, your livelihood, and the threat of potential criminal prosecution, to get people to do what they know Trump wants without even having to put something like OMB Memo M-25-13 in place. That's what I think's really going on here. What do you think the objective is here?
I personally think that there are obviously a lot of people involved with Project 2025, the Heritage Foundation and other folks that really, you know, as much as they talked about during the campaign, you know, this isn't real, like this is not what we're all about. It became very clear that in the early days of this new administration that they were approaching it like they were landing on Normandy, where they were putting their political appointees right away into these agencies and really working to implement a lot of their ideas. If you looked at the metadata, metadata being like if you look at a file, you can tell like who wrote something. Yes. The memo that was written by the OMB was actually drafted by members of Project 2025 and Heritage. And so they're really the ones in charge right now, not Trump. And he you know, has the things he's passionate about, immigration, tariffs. He thinks he's, you know, President McKinley. And I don't think I, looking back at that time fondly, as far as economics
go, it's like, weird.
Yeah, like it really is quite strange. And so so that is very concerning because these folks are prepared, they are determined, and it's up to us to really push back.
Folks, that is Sean Fetteplace. He is with Main Street Alliance, an advocacy group here in the state of Wisconsin. They were one of the plaintiffs that filed suit alongside others yesterday seeking the enjoinment, the halting of the implementation of this bizarro memo from the Office of Management Budget in the Trump White House. Sean, let's get into what comes next with this directive, as well as the other extraordinarily vaguely worded executive orders attacking DEI, specifically as to this funding halt that they attempted to do late Monday, which blew up yesterday, which got enjoined yesterday by a federal judge. What's the next thing people should be looking for in the evolution of this particular effort by the Trump administration to stop funding essential public services that many of us rely on across the state of Wisconsin?
So I would say, first off, let your member of Congress know how you feel about this. I would go to mainstreetalliance.org. We very helpfully have a pop-up petition that you can fill out right now to let them know that this is not okay. Next steps are, it appears what the Trump administration is trying to do is they're trying to say, because the litigation was related to the memo, then the memo doesn't exist anymore. They could just keep doing what they're going to do. And right. just without the memo being there, that's, I think the judge is not going to be happy with that, you know, acute effort by them. And so I would expect the judge to come back and say that's not acceptable. It's going to continue through the legal process. And ultimately, it is rather unclear. Right now, my understanding is that this other EO, executive order they did on the Green New Deal and on like DEI stuff, that's still in effect. And like the general freeze is not happening. But mm-hmm. we just don't know because the White House is not being clear about that. So I think the main thing is to keep the pressure up. The main recourse here is through the legal process. But, you know, you both need to win in the court and the court of public opinion. And so contact your lawmakers, let them know that this is not okay.
Yeah, I think that's so critical. Again, you can go to mainstreetalliance.org. I got the email, the website correct there, Sean, mainstreetalliance.org. And you can find out who your elected representatives are. Call them up. Let them know that this sort of, I don't know, whacking the broadside of a barn and approaching federal funding and grant programs like this is both stupid and harmful and places Wisconsinites' lives at risk, including the lives and livelihoods of you and many that you know. I'm hearing from Sherry from Horicon on the text line saying, hey, I'm on Badger Care. What's going on? I rely on this to live. Sean, let's turn to Badger Care. Medicaid, that's what we call it here in the state of Wisconsin. There has been so much discussion here in the state of Wisconsin about whether or not we should expand Medicaid and cover tens of thousands of more Wisconsinites. And frankly, Robin Voss single-handedly appears to be the single person that stands in the way of ensuring that more Wisconsinites, including people that you may know, listeners, can get the health insurance and health care that they so desperately need. Why is Robin Voss taking this position, Sean? I don't get it.
He's taking this position because of insurance companies and ultimately the hospitals. It originated really because Scott Walker was running for president and he didn't want to be seen as taking Obamacare. At one point, Scott Walker was actually second in the primary and then pretty spectacularly blew up and got nowhere. I think he didn't make it to Iowa. And
it was the only thing that was good about that election cycle was Scott Walker's like epic implosion, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of Republican union members in Iowa, so he didn't really have a constituency there to be able to win. But he held the line on that. And then it was like a political calculation for them to say, we're not taking this because of political reasons. And then over time.
Oh, we may have lost Sean there for a moment. We're going to work together. Oh, there you are.
Yeah, I am.
We're going to pause Sean for a second, take care of that little tech problem. We'll be right back. My name is Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked right here. Our discussion of Badger Care and Medicaid expansion in the state of Wisconsin continues with Sean Fetteplace of Main Street Alliance after these brief messages.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. American voters identifying as independent are the largest group of voters at 43%, according to recent Gallup polling. Depending on what kind of primary election your state parties have, millions of unaffiliated voters may not be able to vote. A bill in the U.S. House called the Let America Vote Act would change that. The National Conference of State Legislatures counts 10 states with closed primaries, allowing only party members to vote, and another 9 with partially closed primaries. 22 states have primaries open to unaffiliated voters. The bipartisan bill introduced January 3rd includes the right for any voter to vote in any taxpayer-funded election, and for unaffiliated voters to vote in any primary for federal office. It would withhold election assistance funding for states not allowing unaffiliated voters to vote in state and local elections and help to fund transitions to open primary systems. It prohibits any non-citizen from voting in federal elections, but also withholds election funding from states if non-citizens are allowed to vote in state or local elections, currently allowed in only 16 municipalities in the U.S. Primaries are often low turnout elections, which often bring out party activists, resulting in more extreme candidates. Allowing independent voters could pressure candidates to campaign to the middle and moderate more extreme positions. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You met my very excellent, very smart guest at just the right time because he's breaking news to me so that we can break the news with all of you folks. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My guest is Sean Fettelplace. He works with the Main Street Alliance right here in Wisconsin, an advocacy group. And Sean, as we were in break, you were breaking some news. Please share with all of our listeners what you just heard and what's going on. This continues more of the breaking news about this weird OMB memo trying to stop all of this federal funding from going out.
Yeah, so today there were some very confusing comments by the press secretary on whether or not this is like a plan or concept of a memo, I guess, so to speak. And she said that the memo is rescinded, but that it's still in effect. And because of her statement on that, legal action is expected to continue. There's 23 governors or attorney generals have joined litigation on this. And so this is going to continue. We're going to keep our eyes on it, but definitely encourage your listeners to keep up to date and to take action by letting their congressperson know that they should contact the administration and tell them to knock it off.
Yeah, this is just clown show-esque, whether you're talking about the metadata, the rescinded, but it's still in effect. I mean, does the press secretary know what the word rescinded means, Sean? I mean, inquiring minds want to know. She got up on the podium yesterday and lied about a whole bunch of stuff, including the $50 million for condoms in the Mideast, which doesn't exist, isn't a thing, and was totally beside the point. I don't know what rescinded, but still in effect means. I guess it means exactly what I told you I think the point of a lot of this is, which is to get executive branch officials to leave, to fill their positions with loyalists, and or to scare the bejiggers out of anybody that remains so that they'll do what Trump wants without them needing such a memo. You know, rescinded, so we're not writing it down anymore, but still in effect, because just like the gosh darn mafia, everybody knows what the boss wants. Sean, as we move forward, again, we're looking at that hearing on Monday. We're looking at the AG case that has been brought, that Wisconsin joined. And we're letting people know that they should go to mainstreetalliance.org to contact their congresspeople and senators to let them know that the Trump administration should knock this off. What else do you think people should be doing? What's your ask of our listeners so that they can stay on top of this and be sure that their benefits don't get cut off?
Yeah, I would say, I can't imagine too many of your listeners are besties with people who work in the Trump White House, but it really is important just to continue that. I would also say if you are personally impacted, buy this if you are not going to be able to make payroll because you're a nonprofit, if you are somebody that is potentially losing your coverage, if you're a childcare provider who's not getting the payments that you're owed, feel free to contact me at Sean@MainStreetAlliance.org, S-H-A-W-N @MainStreetAlliance.org. Please don't send me any troll emails. I'd appreciate that. But if you have a genuine story that of impact, do let us know. And we're happy to make sure that your voice and your story gets shared with the public so that they know what's at stake with us.
Folks, that's Sean Fettleplace of MainStreetAlliance.org. We'll put his email in our show notes today. You can find our show notes if you listen to our former or past episode podcasts on Apple Pods, Spotify, or on the Civic Media website at civicmedia.us/shows. It will all be there, including Sean's email. I think people, one of the things I would like people to do, because whether we're talking about this stupid OMB memo that threatens essential benefits for people, things like childcare, the entire nonprofit pipeline, again, that is such a critical safety net for so many people, it's not far off the mark from the stupidity of Robin Voss and his refusal to consider expanding badger care here in the state of Wisconsin. As the budget debate heats up here in the state, Sean, what should people be keeping their eye on as sort of top priorities? And do you think people should start reaching out now to folks like Robin Voss as the Speaker of the Assembly and their elected representatives in state government to ask for policies and a budget that actually serves the middle class and working folks in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so I would say with Medicaid, there's two major issues. The first is badger care expansion, which should have been done years ago. We have spent $2.4 billion extra to have worse coverage because Scott Walker did what was called a hybrid solution, where people up to 100% of poverty could get, who are childless adults, could get Medicaid. And then people 100 to 138% of poverty could go into the marketplace. They claim that you can get good quality coverage with no premiums. That's true, but that doesn't mean there's no out-of-pocket costs. And so if you actually do the math for that 100 to 138% of poverty, people could spend up to $9,000 a year on that coverage, whereas with Badger Care, there's essentially no cost sharing. And so there's been a lot of disingenuous, frankly, lies about this, and they think if they just repeat something often enough, it makes it true. It is not true, and we would save another $1.4 billion the next year if we took it. So I would encourage people to read the Wisconsin Policy Forum did a report called A Picture of Health, and it very clearly lays out what's going on with this. I would say the second thing on Medicaid is postpartum coverage. We are one of two states that has not taken it. The only other state is Arkansas. All we're asking is for the current 60-day window to be extended to a year. And I would encourage people to check out, there's a really great Cap Times article that was released on the 28th. I guess it's yesterday. Long day yesterday for me.
Yes.
And it clearly laid out that Republicans want this. They're Jesse Rodriguez, Mary Filskowski, and Pat Snyder, who's, I like Pat. Like, he's a reasonable guy. And he said, listen, if we're not able to get this done, then why the hell am I here? And so it really is, you know, for a state where on the north side of Milwaukee, the infant mortality rate is worse than Soweto under apartheid, it is an absolute obscenity that we haven't done this and we need to get it done. So I would say contact your lawmakers. If you live in a Republican district, contact them and tell them to tell Voss that to get out of the way and to be able to get this done, because he is the one person at this point that's holding that up.
Tell Voss to get out of the way. Hear, hear. Thank you so much, Sean Fettleplace from Main Street Alliance. Folks, that Cap Times article, as well as the Wisconsin Policy Forum's coverage of the Wisconsin Badger Care expansion question, I will include in our show notes for today. Sean, please come back soon. We're going to continue this discussion as the budget debate here in the state of Wisconsin heats up. When we come back, everybody, what the heck is going on with RFK? Now he's all of a sudden pro-vaccine? What does this mean for you and your family? Coming up next, and some good sound from his hearing today on Capitol Hill on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. I'm levitating.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Some children in the Milwaukee Public School District are learning about agriculture, not just through a one-day field trip, but every day. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Wednesday. It's the River Trail School of Agriculture Sciences, and right now it's serving more than 350 students on Milwaukee's northwest side. Basically, it's from K through 8, and every day these students are learning something about agriculture. Josh Gonzalez is a second grade teacher that explains why it's such an important school for the Milwaukee Public School District.
Some of the students don't have access to fresh produce, and but there are things that they can do, that we can do, all of us, to be a little more self-reliant. You know, if I'm growing tomato plants and my neighbor plants an apple tree and so on, we're going to have plenty to share, you know. So helping kids to be more self-reliant is a big thing. Helping them to eat fresh and eat locally as opposed to pre-processed foods.
That's Josh Gonzalez. He's a second grade teacher at the River Trail School of Agricultural Sciences in the Milwaukee Public School District, serving about 350 students now. Again, that's K through 8. They act as kind of a feeder system for Milwaukee's Vincent High School, which is also a dedicated agriculture high school.
With over 60 years of experience in the auction business, Steffes Group is the trusted source for buying high-quality equipment. From farm and construction equipment to transportation and land, Steffes Group Auctions features a diverse selection of assets for whatever your needs may be. Bid with confidence, knowing that Steffes Group's team of professionals prioritizes honesty, integrity, and outstanding service. Visit steffesgroup.com to view our upcoming auctions and start bidding on the equipment you need today. That's steffesgroup.com, STEFFESgroup.com.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
And a big honor for a dairy in Wisconsin named the 2025 Innovative Dairy Farmer of the Year by the International Dairy Foods Association. Doug Grotegoot and Grotegoot Dairy in Newton has been selected for the honor. They're milking 3,500 cows and really using a lot of technology to manage the farm. Learn more at MidwestFarmReport.com. That's a quick update on what's happening in food news for a Wednesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A little cooler today with partly sunny skies and highs in the upper 20s. They'll start to ease a bit tonight, but a few flurries could be flying around late. All ahead of a major warm-up striking tomorrow with highs soaring to the low 40s. We'll be soaking up the sunshine and feeling like spring. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Currently, it's 21.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Mr. Green Bay showbiz himself, Frank Hermans, who joins me in studio to discuss his new show. Then I talk movies and TV with the Wisconsin Film Festival's Ben Reiser.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
makes me crazy. What can I say? Is RFK crazy? These are the, you know, this is what's going on today. Folks, we got a bunch of sound for you from RFK's confirmation hearings. And I want to talk about it with you because I don't know what category to put this in. Is it like conspiracy theories? Oh, Tom from Madison, I was about to kick it to you, my friend. Is this about conspiracy theories? Is this about just a grift by RFK? Like, what is the angle here? Regardless of the angle, the upshot would be harm to you and your family and those that you love. I don't think, you know, the Center for Disease Control or the National Institutes of Health should be run by conspiracy theorists, non-scientist crackpots. And there have been some incredibly shocking developments, especially within the last day, including a public statement posted late yesterday by RFK Jr.'s sister, Caroline Kennedy, that includes pretty mind-blowing allegations. Allegations that, if true, I think regardless of whether or not you think this guy is going to save public health in the United States, would make him absolutely an impossible candidate or appointee for this position to be confirmed. Want to start by my thanks for Sean Fetteplace from Main Street Alliance. We have got that link to the Capital Times article discussing Badger Care expansion in Wisconsin, as well as the work of the most recent work of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. We're going to put those two articles, as well as Sean's email, in our show notes for today. You can find those if you search for my show on Apple Pods, Spotify, or at civicmedia.us/shows. The phone lines are open, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I've got kind of an approach today because I think in a way you can approach RFK's putative appointment to be Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services in a couple of categories. And I've got three basic chunks of categories or three basic silos that I am thinking about RFK's appointment within. The first one is that I believe Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is morally unfit to hold the position. I think his past behaviors, I think some of the credible allegations against him, I think how he's responded to some of these allegations is grossly inadequate. And I believe him to be morally unfit, notwithstanding the likes of Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump himself. And we're going to get into that. And I've got this sound from Caroline Kennedy that I think all of you are going to want to hear. But I want to give everybody a chance to weigh in on the discussion I just had with Sean Fetteplace, Main Street Alliance, about this crazy memo from the Office of Management and Budget that's now been rescinded, but according to the press secretary, is still in effect, as well as Badger Care. We got one of our favorite longtime listeners and callers, Karina, on the air. Karina, what do you have to say this afternoon, my friend?
Hi. Oh, I appreciate you so much because you basically, you know, like a mama bird, chewing everything and regurgitating and giving it back to us so we can at least have some understanding what kind of country we're living in. I do have a question. I mean, what is the JFK doing as a... Well, honestly, I never heard him say that he wants to remove, like, polio or tuberculosis or that kind of disease, because over past 20 years, and honestly, compared to Russian the vaccination, which is no standard, but I, you know, comparing two different healthcare systems, we have way less vaccines. And I think that the bad part about the vaccines, because they do have a mercury, they do have a preservative, what people do react very strangely. I think it deserves a patient research and see how bad is it, and do we really need to have a vaccine on every little thing?
Yeah, so there just a couple of things. Thank you so much for the kind words, Karina. Here is a fact. RFK's lawyer has petitioned the FDA to revoke approval for the polio vaccine. So, yeah, he opposes the polio vaccine. Thing one. Thing two, you're talking about the different subcomponent parts of various vaccines. In many circumstances, including the vaccines for measles and mumps and polio, there are alternatives that use different baseline components if a child or a parent prefers not to have some of these very components that you're talking about, Karina. So, yeah, we should always have rigorous testing and clinical trials. The reality is that especially when it comes to childhood vaccines, we've had those options are available. Karina, what are your thoughts? I did want to share with you, he has asked the polio vaccine approval to be revoked by the FDA, reporting by the New York Times on December 15th, 2024.
I think it's a crime. It's absolute crime because it is proven to keep our population, the whole world population, healthier, and the polio is coming back. And this is criminal. This is absolutely criminal. I will never go for it, even, no. One more thing, if you can please touch it, maybe not right now, about the pardons, because I was looking into it, and it's very weird, because the pardon, what the Biden administration did, right, now, if we're going to pull Dr. Fauci for testimony, he cannot claim the fifth because he's already pardoned. So he has to say the truth, right? I mean, under any circumstances, he's supposed to. But he...
Yeah, I think, Karina, just going to jump in here. Want to give everybody a shot today. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. One, I think, just to address the pardons very briefly, and then I'm going to get back to RFK's confirmation hearing today, what I'm going to call like Circus Act number 252 of the Trump administration, which we are 8 days into. Here's the deal. The pardons were a terrible idea. Anthony Fauci has committed no crime, nor has Liz Cheney or Kinzinger or any of the other officials that Joe Biden provided pardons for. I think they were all a mistake, including the pardon for Hunter. But at the same time, I don't think we need to worry about Dr. Anthony Fauci being subpoenaed and appearing before Congress. The man will tell the truth. He will do the best that he can. I don't think he has anything to fear from that sort of a subpoena. That's the thing about the truth. That's the thing about operating in good faith. That's the thing about actually following your oath and your commitment to try to do the best thing for the American people. You don't have to keep your lies and baloney straight. You can just go up there, swear an oath on a Bible, and give your testimony. Because there is no gotcha question. Again, when you are trying to do your job, when you have expertise, and when your pattern and practice is to tell the truth. So I say, bring on the subpoenas. Tom from Madison, one of our callers and listeners, thank you so much, Tom. Tom Tiffany's office in Washington, D.C., Congressman Tom Tiffany, is actually fielding questions about the freeze. Isn't that interesting? I wonder what he's saying. If there is a wily caller out there that wants to give Tom Tiffany's office in D.C. a call and let us know what they say to questions about this weird freeze, not freeze, the memos rescinded but still in place. I would love to hear it. You know, Wisconsin is a single recorder state, meaning if you record a conversation and you're part of the conversation, that's perfectly legal. You do not need the permission of the other party in the state of Wisconsin to record a conversation. I wonder what Tom Tiffany's office would say. Let's see. I'm looking up his number right now. Someone should give him a buzz. Let's see here. It is 202-225-3365. Somebody give Tom Tiffany a call. See what he's saying about the freeze. 202-225-3365. Let's get back to the moral unfitness of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I want to share with you all what his sister Caroline Kennedy had to say about RFK yesterday. She has been noticeably silent and broke her silence. So, Corey, if we've got the sound, let's take a listen, everybody.
I've known Bobby my whole life. We grew up together. It's no surprise that he keeps birds of prey as pets, because Bobby himself is a predator. He's always been charismatic, able to attract others through the strength of his personality, his willingness to take risks and break the rules. I watch his younger brothers and cousins follow him down the path of drug addiction. His basement, his garage, his dorm room were always the center of the action, where drugs were available, and he enjoyed showing off how he put baby chickens and mice in a blender to feed to his hawks. It was often a perverse scene of despair and violence. That was a long time ago, and people can change. Through his own strength and the many second chances he was given by people who felt sorry for the boy who lost his father, Bobby was able to pull himself out of illness and disease. I admire the discipline that took and the continuing commitment it requires. But siblings and cousins who Bobby encouraged down the path of substance abuse suffered addiction, illness, and death, while Bobby has gone on to misrepresent, lie, and cheat his way through life. Today, while he may encourage a younger generation to attend AA meetings, Bobby is addicted to attention and power. Bobby preys on the desperation of parents of sick children, vaccinating his own kids while building a following, hypocritically discouraging other parents from vaccinating theirs. Even before he fills this job, his constant denigration of our healthcare system and the conspiratorial half-truths he's told about vaccines, including in connection with Samoa's deadly 2019 outbreak of measles, have cost lives. And now we know that Bobby's crusade against vaccination has benefited him in other ways too. His ethics report makes clear that he will keep his financial stake in a lawsuit against an HPV vaccine. In other words, Bobby is willing to profit and enrich himself by denying access to a vaccine that can prevent almost all forms of cervical cancer and has already been safely administered to millions of boys and girls.
That is Caroline Kennedy yesterday, RF Kennedy's cousin. Pardon me. Thank you to the texters for correcting me. I misspoke and identified Caroline Kennedy as his sister. She's not his sister. It is his cousin. Amongst the allegations, the claims that his cousin Caroline has made is that he used to put baby mice in a blender and revel in it, that his younger days were filled with drug-fueled parties, and that he has been the recipient of countless second chances, but that in the end, RFK, our nominee to head the Department of Health and Human Services, is no longer addicted to heroin and cocaine, but rather is addicted to attention and power and will do anything, place anyone at risk for more attention and power. Is it any wonder then why he and Donald Trump get along? This is the common thread, the link between these two men. Not any particular ideology, not any particular fidelity to science or service to the American people, but a shared addiction to attention and power and all that attends to it. In addition, Caroline Kennedy pointing out that his life has been defined by misrepresentation, lies, and cheating. This is someone unfit to serve as the nation's chief public health official by any measure. Folks, you're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We're going to take care of a little bit of business. We're going to come right back. I got more sound for you in pillar one of three about why RFK is morally unfit to serve as DHHS secretary. Keep it locked. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. American voters identifying as independent are the largest group of voters at 43%, according to recent Gallup polling. Depending on what kind of primary election your state parties have, millions of unaffiliated voters may not be able to vote. A bill in the U.S. House called the Let America Vote Act would change that. The National Conference of State Legislatures counts 10 states with closed primaries, allowing only party members to vote, and another 9 with partially closed primaries. 22 states have primaries open to unaffiliated voters. The bipartisan bill introduced January 3rd includes the right for any voter to vote in any taxpayer-funded election, and for unaffiliated voters to vote in any primary for federal office. It would withhold election assistance funding for states not allowing unaffiliated voters to vote in state and local elections and help to fund transitions to open primary systems. It prohibits any non-citizen from voting in federal elections, but also withholds election funding from states if non-citizens are allowed to vote in state or local elections, currently allowed in only 16 municipalities in the U.S. Primaries are often low turnout elections, which often bring out party activists, resulting in more extreme candidates. Allowing independent voters could pressure candidates to campaign to the middle and moderate more extreme positions. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Clearly, RFK was the life of the party. I mean, clearly. We've been talking about RFK's nascent appointment to the secretarial head of the Department of Health and Human Services. You want to join the convo, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. As I often do, I have tried to group the issues here relating to RFK into three categories. And category number one is that the man is morally unfit. If, you know, putting small mice into blenders and reveling in that violence, if his drug and booze-soaked youth isn't enough, at least according to his cousin Caroline, the man now is addicted to attention and power. This is not someone who will serve the public interest well. And when you have someone who's addicted to attention and power, the facts of things, the reality, the real impacts on human lives is largely irrelevant. It's a form of sociopathy. And if all of that were not enough, he's also been credibly accused of sexual assault by a former nanny or babysitter. And in response to this, we had worked to get the sound. I will have it for you eventually, maybe tomorrow. I'll just paraphrase. The guy said in response to these allegations, I was no Boy Scout and have many skeletons in my closet. So many skeletons, in fact, that if these skeletons could vote, I could run and win for king of the world. That's not what I would call a full-throated denial of the sexual assault allegations. He also allegedly texted her and sort of pseudo apologized for it. By the way, all this occurred when he was married, which seems almost quaint. Like the infidelity, oh, well, that's not such a big deal. As well as the fact that the man was buddies with Epstein, is on many of the Epstein flight manifests. You know what I'd like to see if they're going to start releasing a whole bunch of documents and things? Not just the stuff about the Kennedy assassination or MLK. How about those Epstein tapes, huh? How about those? How about all the Epstein flight records? Let's get all that out in the open. I'd be down for that. Join this conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I want you all to take a listen to this, because I would take from this that RFK pretty much sounds like a racist. Let's take a listen, Corey. This is going to be cut 20.
I had a great education. I had a family who loved me. I had role models in my country. I had confidence in my own future. Oh, you know, those kind of things had no impact on me. And that's the kind of resilience that we want to give the Black American children, so that they have so much confidence in their own future that when they do encounter the inevitable racism, that it will bounce off them, that they'll be, you know, like the Avengers, they'll be immune to it. And then we don't have to stop racism altogether, because we're never going to be able to do that, but we can have children that are not affected by it, that don't internalize it, that don't see it as their problem. They see it as the person whose racist problem.
I'm sorry. The son of a president has the audacity to tell us how to build resilience in the Black community and for Black children. You know why you were resilient, Bobby? Because your last name's Kennedy and you got a crap load of money and people that covered up for your admitted decades of criminal behavior, never actually felt a real consequence in your whole life. And now you've been appointed to be cabinet secretary. It's disgusting. Jack from Merrimack, you're on the line. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Well, first of all, there is the firing of the inspectors general for a whole bunch of these agencies. And then, Trump's going to sequester the funds and investigate and see whether there is anything funny going on, wastage, improper use of funds, et cetera. Of course, the inspectors general are supposed to be finding that stuff out. Oh, gee, what a coincidence.
Yeah, it's, Jack,
kind of ironic.
The very idea that he's firing the IGs, which he ultimately could do, and at the same time giving voice to, like, oh, I'm about efficiency and accountability. It's all garbage, right? It's not about any of that. It's about ensuring that you embarrass and shame and call out anything that you can arguably even claim is a misstep by people that oppose you, while covering up and explaining away all of your own corruption and graft and lack of any sort of ethical bounds at all. I mean, it's laughable at its inception. So, so silly. So, so absurd. Mark from Pradusak, you're up next. What do you have to say, sir?
Well, I'm a hunter, but this whole thing of hearing that Bobby Kennedy Jr. actually put live animals in a blender is just something beyond the pale. I mean, it is possible to get, if you need mice and that kind of thing, to feed to your hawks. I mean, you can get them frozen and where they're, I hope, hopefully humanely euthanized and frozen, and then you defrost them and you feed them to your hawks. I mean, I actually had a friend actually had raised.
Lost you there for a second, Mark. Please continue.
Yeah, he actually had, he was a herpetologist, and he had snakes that I had to take care of a few times. And what I did is I went downstairs in his apartment and got the rats or mice out of the freezer and defrosted them and fed them to the snakes. I mean, it is, the whole cruelty of the thing is just what gets me. I mean, that it indicates a level of, I don't know if it stops at sociopathy, but some kind of psychopathy that is just
it's disturbing, kind of, to say the least. You got Christy Nome putting a bullet in their dog's head. And
you're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as things get cheesy for What's Worse, Blue Cheese or American Cheese. The controversy continues. You weigh in. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6th rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump signed the Laken Riley Act into law today. It is the first bill signing for his second term and named after the 22-year-old Georgia nursing student killed by an undocumented migrant. The law requires ICE agents to detain undocumented migrants accused of theft and violent crimes.
We have 30,000 beds in Guantanamo to detain the worst criminal illegal aliens threatening the American people. Some of them are so bad we don't even trust the countries to hold them, because we don't want them coming back, so we're going to send them out to Guantanamo.
The president says Congress will also need to approve additional border funding for that law. The White House Office of Management and Budget is rescinding the sweeping directive by President Trump to pause federal funding. That according to an OMB memo obtained by ABC News. Eight hostages are expected to be released tomorrow, including three Israelis held by Hamas for 482 days. This is ABC News.
I'm James.